No way, they're begging me to take them on macrobiotic trips. Yes, they are. Overnight, I take out my strong box that I keep under lock and key. And I take it off to my closet where nobody else can see. I open that door so slowly, take a peek up north and south. Then I pull out a host of Twinkies and I pop it in my mouth. Mr. Natural, just as healthy as I can be. But at night, I'm a junk food junkie. Good Lord, have pity on me.
And that's the way it is with most people and their food. They want to do the right thing, but we're so tempted by the sugar and the salt because our body is craving these foods that aren't good for us. Hello, this is BVS Radio, your friendly freedom station. I'm your host, Sherry Edwards, for the next hour of Sound Health. And on this show, we're going to attempt to bring you information and ideas about self-health. Thank you for joining us. We're going to be talking to Sally Fallon and on this edition of Sound Health. Sally is back by popular demand. She's a great resource about our food supply in America. So get those questions ready, and we'll be with Sally in just a few minutes. Right after these quick announcements. Announcement one, don't forget to download your free copy of Nano Voice from our website, nanovoice.org. That program is totally free, including a manual. You can take your vocal print right on your own computer and see the printout of your personality and what it pertains to. You can do your friends' vocal print, you can look at job opportunities, you can find out what you really think and who you really are. You know, you can lie with your words, but the ultra frequencies of your voice tell on you. And that when you go to nanovoice.org, move down to the bottom of the front page until you see a blue wavy thing that says Nano Voice. Click on it and it'll help you download the program. It's totally free. We don't even ask you for your name or idea. And we're doing this because we think the program will show you that your voice has the ability to decode information about you. And once you realize how important the information in your voice is, then you'll want to know more. And we also think it's a great way to protect and predict your health and well-being. And two, we are currently running a project on anti-aging. We've decoded telomerase and resveratrol and other anti-aging indicators and substances. And we wanted to see if we could begin to reduce some of the signs and signals of aging. So if you're interested in knowing more, please contact us at 740-698-9119. And I'll also put those numbers on the description of this show. Or write to me, Sherry, S-H-A-R-R-Y, and you can remember that because my birth name is Sharon, so Sherry@SherryEdwards.com. We really want you guys to get involved. We want you to join us for our free online classes. You can call Nikki or Kylie, either one, at that same number, 740-698-9119, and they can help you sign up to join the team so we can make a difference in this new energy medicine that we're bringing forward. We think this is particularly important in light of the announcement by that Natural Solutions Foundation, and they made the prediction that the threatened bird flu pandemic is just around the corner. Okay, end of announcement. Sally, are you with us on the line?
I sure am, Sherry.
Great. Thank you for coming back. We had such a deluge of mail and questions after the last time. And some of the questions tonight are going to be some of those questions.
Okay.
That we really wanted to have you back because people were incredibly interested in what you had to say. And you've written a book, Nourishing Traditions. We started there last time. We talked about the book, but we may have some new listeners. So could you start there?
Well,
the tagline, I think, is incredibly challenging, and so that's what I want you to talk about.
Okay, well, the tagline is the cookbook that challenges politically correct nutrition and the diet dictocrats. It is a big full-spectrum cookbook, and it's also a book about nutrition, but it's definitely different from the vast majority of books on nutrition that you will read today, because we argue and show the science for eating foods with lots of cholesterol, for eating butter and eggs. We argue for the importance of salt in the diet, if it's the right kind of salt. We talk about how to make sauces that are good for you, and to make food really, really delicious so that you actually don't even think about those Twinkies later on at night.
You know, that kind of flies in the face of a popular belief that you're lobbying for animal fats and cholesterol as vital factors in human health. How did all that fake information get out there?
Well, it was a definite plan by the vegetable oil industry. They started in the 50s, started to demonize their competition, which was butter and animal foods, and things like coconut oil they started to demonize. And it was helped along by, the work of John Kellogg and Sylvester Graham, who had been promoting this type of diet for a long time as a way to improve your morals, to make you a better person.
Wait a minute. A diet to improve your morals?
Yes. So this is how this diet was originally promoted, to get rid of all your lustful animal urges. The Seventh-day Adventist prophet Ellen G. White said, you know, if you have children that are bad, it's your own fault because you gave them butter, eggs, and meat. So there was a tremendous sense of moral rectitude in this type of diet, and the vegetable oil industry was able to ride on that and create the impression that there was a science base to what they were saying when there actually wasn't one. We have told this whole story in an article called The Oiling of America, which is on the Weston A. Price Foundation website.
Can you give me an address?
Yes, it's westonaprice.org. That's WestonAPrice.org. That's the name of Weston A. Price.
Didn't a guy by the name of Alexander Schaus write a book about food and nutrition and juvenile delinquency?
Well, I'm not familiar with that book. I certainly would agree with the premise, but the question is, what kind of foods are creating juvenile delinquency? And when you starve a child for the types of foods that child needs to grow normally and to feel happy, because these foods also make you feel happy, naturally happy. And if you feed that child foods that damage its brain, like MSG and soy formula, yes, you're going to see a big rise in violent behavior and delinquency and drug addictions.
Well, Alexander Schaus, his was sugar and junk food and pop and that
right.
kind of thing.
But at the same time, children do need to eat sweet things. We have a sweet taste in our mouth, and I believe that's one of the jobs of mothers, is to provide them with wholesome sweet things, in moderation, of course. I believe children should receive sweet foods from their parents, so they have a kind of an association there. If you deny them sweet foods, they're going to rebel. So it's a real balancing act for parents to provide them with a nutritious diet as they're growing, that's full of all the nutrients they need, but also tastes good, and that satisfies all their needs for fats and salt and sweet things and so forth, so that there's no pull to these other foods.
Sally, how can we really tell what nutrition our kids need?
I think you can tell a lot by their behavior. You can tell if they're mopey, if they can't concentrate. You know, a well-nourished child is a very happy child, capable of a huge amount, bursts of energy, and very good concentration. A child who sleeps well at night, a child who passes the milestones of walking and talking and so forth. You can tell by looking at the child.
You know, and some of the kids that come into the clinic here, we see very volatile behavior associated
yes.
with beans and with milk, and we see...
With beans.
Pardon?
Beans.
Beans.
Uh-huh. Well,
it's a very poor area, so lots of beans. Maybe.
I see. Well, as far as milk is concerned, pasteurized milk and low-fat milk will definitely create those types of behaviors. It's a very allergenic food. It puts a tremendous stress on the child's digestion. But raw whole milk, which of course is what we promote, is a perfect food for growing children. It's a magic food. And we've had reports of poor behavior, learning disabilities, even very severe autism change almost overnight by going from pasteurized to raw whole milk.
And in your book, not only is there recipe ideas, but there's lists of where parents can get these good whole foods. I love that part of the book.
Well, we also have a, we publish a shopping guide every year, the Weston A. Price Foundation does, which you can get by calling us or going to the website. And we have local chapters all over the country who help you find the food, help you find raw milk and so forth.
My children were born like 40 years ago, mm-hmm. and they were allergic to my milk, which is really
interesting.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I was highly allergic to milk, and I am so sorry I fed them soy.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
It was Nutramigen. I didn't know any difference. I was a stupid young mother.
Well, I tell you, the soy formula back then wasn't nearly as bad as it is today. Because back then they recognized that the estrogens in soy were a problem, and they took them out. But that process is very expensive, so now they don't do that.
Yeah, her milk costs like $50 a week, and you know, in the 60s, that was a lot of money.
That's very, very interesting. It's a alcohol wash that they need to use with the soy powder to get the estrogens out. And around about the 70s, they stopped doing that because it was too expensive.
We're seeing here at the clinic that some of the kids that are still on soy milk, and even the parents, mm-hmm. they're causing fragile bones.
And that's quite interesting. I'm not surprised, yeah.
And we're also seeing a relationship between inability to process and communicate with wheat allergies.
Yes. And once again, you know, a lot of this goes back to how well the intestinal tract was built in the baby. And the cholesterol and saturated fats are very important for that building of that intestinal tract. And that starts with the mother's diet during pregnancy and how she feeds the baby when he or she is growing. One of the things we publish at the Weston A. Price Foundation is a, we call it our healthy baby issue. And if you call our office, you can order that. It's about 100 pages of really concise information on how to raise healthy children.
And again, just Weston, Weston A, price.org.
And the number, phone number is 202-363-4394.
Oh, that's great. I will put it on the description of the show for people who don't have a pencil yeah. handy.
So you can call and get that healthy baby issue, our shopping guide, and hopefully you'll become members and receive our journal, our quarterly journal.
Can they do this online?
Well, they can print out the forms and send them in. We're working on our new website where they will be able to, but we're not quite there yet.
You know, I love this website. I have been using it for other things that we've been researching, like insulin and inflammation. But I want to ask a question that I don't quite understand. How did we now, in this generation, mm-hmm. become so allergic to milk and wheat and that kind of thing? When our grandparents weren't, they didn't seem to have this trouble.
Yeah, well, I think it's two things. First of all, it's that our guts are not being formed properly, as I mentioned. And secondly, it's the way the milk is processed and the way the wheat is prepared. We actually have an article on wheat. It's called Wheaty Indiscretions on the website. And it talks about all the stuff that they do to wheat. Wheat is much different today than it used to be. And plus, the traditional cultures usually made a sourdough type of bread with that wheat, which gets rid of the gluten and all the factors in wheat that cause irritation.
So the cultured butter, yogurt, milk, mm-hmm. bread, those are better than just plain old wheat?
Well, certainly the fermented bread, that's the sourdough bread.
What's your stand on genetically modified foods?
Well, I'm obviously against them. I mean, this is not nature's way. Actually, the Bible forbids the mixing of seeds like this. And what you're starting to get is these real toxic proteins genetically put into foods, and they're especially damaging to children, to organisms that are growing. There was a recent, some recent work by a Russian scientist who fed rats normal soy and genetically modified soy. And those on the genetically modified soy actually died. They became very spindly and they died. So there's a lot more toxins in the genetically modified soy. All soy contains toxins, but there's a lot more in the genetically modified. And don't forget, those genetically modified soybeans are going into infant formula.
So we are processing ourselves into annihilation.
Well, you know, the latest thing on the soy is it lowers sperm count. So it is a sort of enforced birth control, anti-fertility agent.
Is that because of all the estrogen in it?
Yeah, that's correct.
Wow.
Yeah, and these have a very negative effect, well, on both sexes, but certainly on men, because when they're eating a lot of soy, or even a little bit of soy, their testosterone levels go down and their sperm count goes down.
That ought to be enough to keep it
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you need anything more to know anything more about soy to stay away from it.
Well, for those of you who want to ask Sally a question, you can call in USA toll-free 877-876-5227. And in the U.S. and Canada, the toll-free number is 888-815-9756. The direct number is 530-876-3222. And you can always jump on BBS, Boy Boy Sam, bbsradio.com. We're on station one today, and the phone numbers are listed right there. And as most of our audience likes to do, you can write us at radio@vocalprofiling.com. In a bit, I want to talk to you about disease and poor food choices, but there's some, I've got four or five questions coming in already, I guess, from viewers that know they could write to us, and they're wonderful. They're wonderful questions. Is there a food that doesn't exhibit allergic reaction?
Well, I don't know of any food that hasn't caused an allergic reaction in somebody, and that includes things that you wouldn't even think of, like coconut or apricots or almonds or beef. I mean, there's always been found someone who's allergic to a food. I will say that the more naturally a food is raised and prepared, the less likely it is to be allergenic. A perfect example is milk. I mean, milk is a very widely spread allergy in the United States. A lot of people are allergic to it. We did a survey and found that 82% of the people who could not tolerate pasteurized milk did fine on raw milk. So, you know, taking care of the allergies is kind of a twofold thing. One is strengthening your own immune system, strengthening the gut health, and at the same time either avoiding the foods or eating a variety of the food that's been properly prepared.
I had heard that maybe rice milk would be better than soy milk or maybe almond milk.
Well, they certainly are preferable, but I don't recommend them either. These are highly processed foods. They all contain vitamin D2. That's a synthetic vitamin D, which has the opposite effect of the true vitamin D. That is that it causes softening of the hard tissues and hardening of the soft tissues, like the arteries. A lot of emulsifiers and sweeteners in these foods. They're really not natural foods.
Do you recommend one kind of oil for cooking than others?
Well, I mostly cook in animal fats. I cook in lard, beef fat, duck fat, butter, ghee, and I also use some olive oil for cooking. These are the stable fats and oils that are appropriate for cooking.
So no nut oil, no sunflower oil,
no... No. These are highly processed. They break down when you heat them, break down into free radicals, which cause cancer and heart disease.
How about coconut oil?
Well, coconut oil is a very therapeutic oil, and I recommend it for everyone. I personally don't like to cook with coconut oil because it burns at a very low temperature, and it does not smell nice when it's burnt. The way I use coconut oil is I put some in hot water or herb tea and let it melt and just drink it like that.
Oh, just a straight oil?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, not on a spoon, but in hot water.
Somewhere down the show, we're going to talk about the different omega oils. But could we talk about some of the diseases that are caused by poor food choices? Not lack of food, but poor food choice.
Well, they're all caused by poor food choices, in my opinion. Even the so-called genetic diseases are the result of poor food choices of the ancestors, and not just necessarily the mother, but the ancestors.
A lot of this is genetic?
Well, I don't really believe there's such a thing as a genetic disease. I think the poor food choices, especially over a couple generations, influence the expression of the genetics and cause disease.
We're finding here in some of the numbers that it's the proteins that are controlling the genes that are really causing the problem.
Mm-hmm. So well, the genes are controlled. A lot of things that control the genes and have to do with gene expression. Vitamin A is a really critical one, and the American diet is woefully low in vitamin A. That's why we recommend cod liver oil. Vitamin D is involved, and a host of other nutrients. I believe B6 is involved. The whole diet is in traditional cultures supported the optimal expression of the genetics, and that's what we need to get back to.
Do you recommend vitamins, supplemental vitamins?
Not the isolated vitamins. What we recommend is what we call superfoods. These are foods that are very nutritious. And top of our list is cod liver oil, which is a food. We recommend things like liver and egg yolks. These are superfoods.
About things like blue-green algae and wheatgrass?
I think they all have their place. Those are not foods that I'm particularly familiar with, but they can be helpful, too.
Okay. Is there any foods that we can use to better support our immune system so that when other people around us are getting all these colds and flus, they just sort of... bother it?
Yes. Well, I can think of four right off the bat. One is cod liver oil. That's a food. One is coconut oil, which really helps the immune system. One is fermented foods like sauerkraut, which put good bacteria in our intestinal tracts. And the fourth one would be bone broth, like chicken broth and beef broth and fish broth, made from real bones.
Bone broth.
Yes. These are the old-fashioned broth, and they have a twofold effect. They help the body detoxify, and they are also full of good nourishment. They also seem to have some kind of healing effect on the gut. We're not sure why, but people with leaky gut and chronic fatigue and inflammation and stress do very well on bone broth. Now, I've actually published a book called Performance Without Pain. I didn't write it, but I published it and I edited it. And it's by a woman who's a musician, and she almost had to stop her career because of chronic pain and inflammation. And she's now fully recovered, very strong, and she did it with a diet with just these things in it: cod liver oil, bone broth, fermented foods, raw milk products. A very simple diet, but a very healing diet.
How can people get that book?
Well, Performance Without Pain is available on Amazon. It's also available at my website, newtrendspublishing.com.
newtrends.com.
Publishing.com. And a bookstore can get it for you. If you don't have access to the Internet and you go to a bookstore, they can order it for you.
What food choices would cause something like that?
Well, in this particular case, the author of this book had been following the dietary guidelines very conscientiously. She ate lots of whole grains, pasteurized skim milk, lean meats, low-fat dairy products, and this diet led her to be very, very sick. And it was only when she was able to realize how dangerous this way of eating was that she could start to recover.
Do you recommend diets on the Weston A. Price site?
Well, we do have a list of dietary recommendations, and these are the principles, and then you can take those principles and modify them to your particular needs, your budget, what's available to you, and your allergies. I mean, you may want to eliminate some foods because of allergies, but we provide the guidelines there.
You know, one of the things I was amazed about is the depth and breadth of information on that site.
Yeah.
I went in looking for inflammation articles.
Yes.
And just did not realize how much the omega fats were instrumental in helping or causing inflammation. And I started reading about tilapia and grain-fed fish, farm fish,
mm-hmm.
and how their oils have changed from the good oils to the omega-6s, the grain oils?
Well, no, I'm just going to stop you here. We need both omega-6 and omega-3. We need them in small amounts. The problem with our diet today is we're getting far too much omega-6. But the real culprit in inflammation is the trans fats. And people getting rid of the saturated fats and using trans fats. And the saturated fats, like butter, and coconut oil, and lard, and beef fat, they protect against inflammation. And if you're eating lots of saturated fats, your body will use your omegas in the right way. And don't think that if a product says no trans, don't think that it doesn't have trans fats in it, because they have ways of hiding trans fats that they don't have to label.
What is a trans fat?
A trans fat is a manufactured fat. It's a big process that takes liquid vegetable oils and then rearranges the molecules so these vegetable oils act like solid fats.
Like and, canola or something like that?
Yeah, they it's called partial hydrogenation, and they do this to canola oil and soybean oil and so forth, cottonseed oil, and they get partially hardened oils that they can use in cookies and crackers and margarines and spreads. And these trans fats basically suppress reactions in the body. They keep receptors from working, like insulin receptors. They mess up enzymes. The way I like to think of it, Sherry, is that the liquid oils full of free radicals cause uncontrolled reactions in the body, and the trans fats, the partially hydrogenated solid vegetable oils, suppress reactions in the body. So if you're eating a typical American diet where you're eating a lot of foods with trans fats in them and cooking in vegetable oils and using these oils on your salads, you're just creating havoc in your body. Lots of things, you have uncontrolled reactions and lots of things that don't work.
What are some of these tricky words they're using to hide those trans fats?
Well, the main one is mono and diglycerides.
Okay.
And if look at one of these soft spreads, for example, which will say no trans. They'll be full of mono and diglycerides. And the mono and diglycerides are always partially hydrogenated, always full of trans. But the government doesn't define a mono or diglyceride as a fat. Now, they are fats. They're absolutely fats. But they're not. They don't have to call them fats, so they don't put them in the label.
Do you recommend real butter?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you recommend liquid margarine?
Oh, no. None of these processed fats.
Okay, so that's what these trans fats are. What's in things like liquid parquet and olive oil?
Well, no. What's in the liquid parquet will be mostly vegetable oils.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I read on that today it was like soybean oil.
Pardon me?
When I read some of the labels today, it was based in soy.
Yeah. And the soybean oil is just toxic. It's highly processed, and breaks down very easily into free radicals. And then they put these really toxic antioxidants in them, preservatives.
Free radicals, don't they also come along when you use microwaves?
It's quite possible. I don't know of any studies on that. But the chief source of free radicals in the diet is these vegetable oils, the Wesson oils, and all of these liquid oils and the commercial salad dressings. There may also be some form by microwaving. I'm assuming that your listeners are too intelligent to microwave their food.
Well, what do these free radicals do in the body that cause a problem?
Well, what they are unpaired electrons, and they start chemical reactions in the body that just cascade and keep going. Now, your body works with chemical reactions. You want to make chemical reactions, but the body has all sorts of ways of starting and stopping these reactions so they don't get out of hand and out of control. But the free radicals in these vegetable oils, you don't have the stopping mechanism. So they can lead to cancer, they can lead to autoimmune disease, heart disease, just all sorts of problems.
Are the fats the main food issue that is causing inflammation?
Well, it's certainly one of them. I don't know if it's the main one, but eating the wrong types of fats is certainly, or not eating enough fats is certainly the fast road to inflammation, chronic inflammation.
You know, we used to be told, don't eat the bacon, don't eat the fat on the bacon, don't save the grease, don't use it. Was that all just a big ploy?
Yeah, well, it's, I eat bacon, I save all the fat, and we cook in it. And yes, it was a big ploy. Those are the fats, and animal fats are the stable types of fats that we should be using for cooking.
Okay, this is an audience question from Donna.
Mm-hmm.
Is there food choices that can keep me from experiencing fibromyalgia pain? I also drink a lot of Coke and Pepsi.
Here's what I would suggest. Number one, you need to get off the Coke and Pepsi. But rather than just go off them, you need to find a substitute, a good substitute. And what we recommend at the Weston A. Price Foundation are the lacto-fermented beverages, like the old-fashioned type of ginger ale, the kombucha, kvass, which is something from Russia. And these recipes are in my book, Nourishing Traditions.
Okay, will they be under drinks? Or?
They would be under beverages.
Beverages.
And there are some articles on our website as well. And we also have sources in our shopping guide.
Do you think that Coke and Pepsi cause a joint issues?
Oh, absolutely.
We've seen it associated with aspartame, too.
Yeah, and the diet ones are even worse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's another related question. I've heard that high fructose corn syrup is bad for humans. How is it bad, and how did it come to be bad? What does it do to the body?
Well, first of all, any unrefined sweetener is bad for humans, and that includes sugar, because it uses up nutrients and it creates a lot of stress in the body that your body's always having to deal with is stress. They raise the blood sugar very quickly, and you either end up with diabetes or hypoglycemia. Now, the high fructose corn syrup is worse because the body has a really hard time dealing with a lot of fructose. Small amount of fructose in fruit is fine, but all that fructose in high fructose corn syrup has to be metabolized in the liver. Now, see, the glucose in sugar does not have to be metabolized in the liver. So the high fructose corn syrup puts a tremendous strain on your liver.
And, boy, almost any drink you pick up is full of it.
Yeah.
Do you recommend sugar substitutes of some kind?
We recommend natural sweeteners, honey, maple syrup, dehydrated cane sugar juice, molasses. These are the types of sweeteners that you can use in moderation in desserts that you've made and in moderation in a diet with a lot of good fats. They're not going to do you any harm. And they will satisfy your sweet taste. We all like sweet things, and that we really all need a way to satisfy that sweet taste in a healthy way.
I've read articles on stevia. Is that anything good?
Stevia is fine in small amounts. You know, you know, that's something that could be used. But, you know, stevia, you can't bake with stevia. It doesn't have the same type of characteristics as, say, maple syrup would have.
I think we've touched on this, but this is another question from the audience. Is there any reason that kids can't just drink soy milk if there's an issue with cow's milk? I think.
Oh, yes. I mean, soy's milk is full of estrogens. It's like giving your kids birth control pills. It's very, very, very hard to digest. It causes digestive disorders. It causes thyroid problems. And it causes, it has a lot of it causes uric acid deposits in the body, which can cause a lot of pain. Soy milk is a poison, and you should not be giving it to your children under any circumstances. Now, if you can't get raw milk, or if they can't, you know, tolerate any types of milk, just don't give them milk. There was a period when my kids were growing up when I couldn't get raw milk, and they just didn't drink milk. We gave them lots of cheese, we made lots of bone broth, and for their oatmeal, we put some cream on the oatmeal, which they tolerated pretty well.
This is a very long email. Mm-hmm. It's about just drinking water, but I don't want to do it out of plastic because of what I've heard. Mm-hmm. What do you suggest?
Yeah, it just depends on where you live. Water, you can get a filter in your own house. You can order bottled water in glass bottles. There's a company called Mountain Valley Springs that delivers water in glass bottles. That's what we do. You can buy bottled water in glass bottles, although it's pretty expensive. And if you have your own well with good water, you don't need to worry about it. Just turn on the tap and put the water in a glass container.
So somebody needs to invent a glass container that we can take on trips into the market and whatever.
I think people... The fact that people need so much water is a sign that something's not right. The best way to get water to your cells is to eat lots of fat, because you get twice as much water for your cells from fat than you do from proteins or carbohydrates. And the fact that people need to drink water all the time says that there's something wrong.
Well, there's books out, Your Body's Many Cries
mm-hmm.
for Water,
mm-hmm.
So we've been hoodwinked, I think.
Well, I think if you're not eating the right kind of diet, you are going to be thirsty and you are going to need water, but that's not the best way to get water.
Well, I think some people just drink water because they think they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
They're not thirsty.
Yeah. Well, now, I think you do need liquids, and we recommend broth and our lacto-fermented beverages or raw milk, those types of liquids. Nourishing liquids.
We've got a question come in about coffee. You want to talk about that?
Sure.
Is coffee a good or bad beverage? My husband drinks several pots, not cups, pots,
uh-huh.
a day. What's he in for by way of body breakdown that caffeine causes?
Well, here's what caffeine does. Caffeine gives a big jolt to your adrenal glands, and your adrenal glands produce adrenaline. That's what wakes you up when you drink coffee. And so your adrenal glands are always under stress. The other part of your adrenal glands, the adrenal cortex, then tries to produce healing hormones. And one of the quickest ways to get adrenal burnout is to drink lots and lots of coffee. Eventually you just burn out and your body can't deal with any type of stress at all. Now, by the way, people are not just getting caffeine in coffee. They're getting it in all the soft drinks, you know, the colas, and these are in the schools now, being sold to children.
We had a lady working here that lived on Mountain Dew all day long.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Caffeine.
Yeah.
You know, here's a related question. What about chocolate, good or bad? You know, I've heard both.
Well, you know, there's a lot out now about chocolate because having magnesium in it. Now, I personally don't recommend chocolate. I'm not saying never eat a piece of chocolate. You know, I know it tastes wonderful, but chocolate's very sweet, and chocolate does have a compound in it similar to caffeine. So if you're the type of person who can eat a piece of chocolate and just one, I wouldn't worry about eating chocolate. But a lot of people can't just eat one piece of chocolate. You know they have to eat a whole chocolate bar or lots and lots of pieces of chocolate. And that's where you really get in trouble with chocolate.
And I think the chocolate people are touting it now, the dark chocolate, for inflammation.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's a very good way to treat inflammation.
Well, here's a question about inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stiff in the morning when I wake up,
mm-hmm.
especially my feet and ankles.
Yeah.
I'm stiff after I sit in one place for a while, like at my desk.
Yeah.
Again, my feet and ankles, and sometimes up my legs. Is this an allergic reaction? My doctor doesn't seem to know what it is, just saying it's old age. I'm not old. I'm in my late 30s. Do you have any idea what's causing this?
Well, I can think of lots of things. The first thing I would absolutely recommend is to get on some cod liver oil. Now, not just any cod liver oil. Please go to our website and read our section on cod liver oil, because some brands of cod liver oil we do not recommend. I don't want to get into all the technical reasons, but there are brands of cod liver oil we do recommend. So I would get on some cod liver oil. I would get on plenty of butter and egg yolks. I would get off all the sodas, and basically follow our dietary guidelines.
Okay, those easy to find on the site? Type in dietary guidelines?
Yes, just type in dietary guidelines.
Or cod liver oil?
And yes, and we have a whole section on the navigation bar on cod liver oil.
Well, here's a nice one. Is there cookware and types of utensils and dishes that we should not eat out of? My husband warned me that he had heard that I should not use my mother's old cast iron skillet. Any truth to that?
I use cast iron. I like cast iron, and actually cast iron has been shown to prevent anemia in some cultures. So I don't think there's any problem with cast iron as long as you're eating a good diet with plenty of the good types of fats in it. I would not recommend Teflon, of course. Now, a lot of people use stainless steel, and of course I would not recommend aluminum. But some people have problems with stainless steel. So you need to be kind of careful about that.
At the health food show that you were in Chicago, there were two sets of people there selling stainless steel cookware. Are there different kinds or varieties?
Yes, there's different grades of stainless steel, and apparently the best is the 306 category of stainless. That has the least reaction with acidic foods. What happens with stainless when you cook in acidic foods is that nickel comes out, and nickel can be quite toxic, especially to certain people.
Yeah, MS people particularly, that would be a problem.
Yeah.
How about ceramic cookware?
I think ceramic's fine. I use, enamel cookware.
Uh-huh.
Good quality. I wouldn't use the Mexican ceramics.
They're quite expensive.
Yeah, unfortunately. But go to eBay, I think you can find things.
Here's one. We haven't talked about it, and I don't understand this either. What is irradiated meat?
Well, irradiation is a process of bombarding foods with radioactive material. And it supposedly kills pathogens and lets the meat or whatever it is sit on the shelf a lot longer. Now, it's interesting. There was a big push for irradiation a few years ago, and they were going to irradiate all the meat in school lunches. And there was such an outcry that that has stopped. And I haven't heard much about irradiation in recent years. But I think they're doing it in the military quite a bit.
Is this just a way to, like a microwave, irradiate something and get rid of the bacteria? Is that what it is?
Well, it's not like microwaving. It's different from microwaving. And that's what it's supposed to do, is get rid of bacteria. But it still leaves the toxins that are produced by the bacteria and changes the taste. And, I mean, I don't want to eat food that's been subjected to radioactive radiation.
Yeah. Here's a nice short one. You know, folks, if you're sending me emails here, instead of 5 or 6 paragraphs, could you kind of keep it short? Here's a real short one. Is cheese a cultured product?
Yes, it is. It's a twice fermented product. Now, the better the quality of the milk and the more naturally the cheese has been done, the better it is going to be for you. I do recommend cheese as an excellent food. It should not be processed cheese, preferably made from raw milk. And these types of cheeses are widely available. Once again, you can use our shopping guide or just go on the internet and put in raw cheese or contact our local chapter.
You know, and don't the Amish make some really good raw cheese?
They do. And Sherry, where are you located?
Ohio.
Yes. Well, we have a lot of chapters in Ohio. So go to westonaprice.org, click on local chapters, and find your local chapter, and they can tell you where the raw cheese is. There's a lot of raw milk in Ohio. It's widely available.
I just don't like the taste of milk, so I don't eat it much. Here's a nice one. I hear that wine is good, wine is bad. What's the scoop?
Well, wine is a natural product. It's a fermented product, but it also has alcohol in it. So if you drink wine, do so in very strict moderation with meals. And some people shouldn't be touching alcoholic beverages at all.
Yeah. Somebody just sent me 50 ways that food hurts. No, I don't even know if I can read all that. I'm going to open it and see what it says. Here's another question. Every time I eat lentils, my gout flares up bad.
That's interesting.
I really like lentils. What's going on in my body that's causing this breakdown? Can it be fixed?
That's really interesting. I've never heard that before. Well, I would certainly try soaking the lentils about 8 hours before you cook them. Soak them and then drain them and then cook them and see if that helps.
Oh, okay. I can't decide which thing to ask you here. With all the processed sugars that are tempting us, what's the best way to start eating healthy? What does it take to get started? A will of iron, a personal trainer or cook, a life-threatening situation? Help, I need your advice.
Well, you can't do it with a will of iron. And that's the whole point of our diet. This isn't willpower. It's actually a satisfying diet. So you don't need to use willpower. I would go to our website, read our dietary guidelines, and then there's a section on, I forget exactly what it's called, making it practical or getting started or something like that. And there's a whole series of articles on what to do. You might contact our local chapter and see if they're having meetings. They can help you.
What do they do at these local chapter meetings?
Well, it's usually a potluck. They usually have a speaker or a film or a class of some type. And it's people like your questioner there who just don't know what to do to get started. You can often find a lot of help. One thing I think you need to do is go through your kitchen and get rid of all the processed foods. And then there's very simple steps you can take to get started. One thing I always tell people, make your own salad dressing. You know, these bottle dressings are absolute garbage. And for the same amount of money, you can make your own salad dressing using the finest ingredients.
This article that was sent from a doctor, surprising ways food can kill, maim, damage your organs, undermine your brain functions, and otherwise screw up your life. Sounds like a great book. Here's a follow-up question to that, not from the same person, but it's along the same lines. Is there such a thing as a good diet guaranteed to lose weight and keep it off?
That's hard. Some people have lost a lot of weight on our diet. And I've written a diet book called Eat Fat, Lose Fat, which uses coconut oil to help you lose weight.
Eat fat what?
Eat fat, lose fat.
Lose fat. Oh, that sounds good.
And that's on Amazon. But there's no easy answers to weight loss. And I do want to say that I think people have unreasonable expectations of how much weight they can lose, especially as we grow older. Women are supposed to gain weight as they grow older, otherwise they get frail. And I often say if you are the same size and you can fit into your prom dress when you're 50, you're too thin. Women should gain 2 dress sizes when they go through menopause. Otherwise, they get frail. And that extra fat helps you produce estrogen, keeps your bones strong, keeps you happy. So you want to be in good shape. You don't want to be, you know, grossly overweight. But there's nothing wrong. You don't have to be model thin. In fact, that's probably very unhealthy for most people.
well, here's one. We're going to open a can of worms when we only have a few minutes left. Mm-hmm. Can things like vaccinations mess up our ability to process food?
Absolutely. Vaccinations can destroy your gut, flora. They are, vaccinations can cause untold damage, especially in the numbers that are being recommended today.
Is there a good way to reestablish gut flora?
Yes, absolutely, and that's one of the things we help people do. We get them on to probiotics in the extreme cases, but usually if you just use some kefir or sauerkraut or many of the fermented foods that we recommend, you can reestablish your gut flora.
What is the definition of the word you just used, probiotic?
These are foods that help establish gut flora, that contain good bacteria themselves.
Okay. Boy, questions are coming in, and I'm trying to read Dr. Jerry's thing, which looks great. Looks like we have two more questions. Do you have an opinion about what country has the best dietary habits, and can you relate that to less disease for that country?
It's hard to say. Now, in the modern countries, the longest lifespan is, I think it's Iceland, Switzerland, and Austria. And these are countries that eat lots of fat and take cod liver oil, especially in Iceland.
Mm-hmm. In Switzerland, it might be the cheeses.
Yeah, right. But I think all traditional diets can support good health and a long life, as long as, you know, they truly are the traditional diet. So then it comes down to, what kind of diet do you want to eat? I don't really want to eat a Japanese diet. It doesn't appeal to me, but I'm quite happy with a Swiss diet, a traditional Swiss diet.
A radio question. I have a friend who just got turned on to raw food. She claims she and her children, boy 9, girl 6, her husband is not having any of this, eating 80% raw veggies and 20% of cooked veggies, oatmeal or beans or rice, and maybe some meat, but little to no milk or processed food, and that's it. I'm wondering about her kids and their developing bodies. Her intention for this is for health. Is this really healthy for such young kids?
No, absolutely not. And we do not recommend all raw diet. We recommend raw milk, sometimes some raw meat, raw cheese. Salads are fine, but most vegetables should be cooked. They're very hard to digest if they are not cooked. And that diet needs fat in it, and she's on a very fast road to nutrient deficiencies and some real serious problems. And we get these people in the foundation and call us, and they tried this all raw, and they really got very sick.
And in answer to your suggestion, Dr. Jerry, I certainly will send this little booklet you sent me on to Sally, because we definitely want her to come back. We still have questions to go.
Okay.
This is great. Why do you think we are fed the information that all of this Cheez-Its, pizza, Oreos, fudgesicles, and Kool-Aid-type foods are okay to feed our families? They warn us about everything else. Why aren't we run over with warnings of these kinds of foods that are not good for us?
Well, I think your questioner can answer that herself. There's a huge amount of money involved, and these people advertise in the media, advertise heavily, and so the media is not going to expose the problems with their advertisers.
And they can also go to Weston A. Price and look up all this great stuff.
Yeah.
Sally, are you available for lectures, private consultations, anything like
that?
Well,
I'm not a practitioner. I don't do consultations. If you look on our calendar section, you can see my lecture schedule. And go from there. So, you know, if you want to schedule something, we can talk about it. But I'm really booked at least a year in advance.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
I do also have on my website my seminar, a seminar on traditional diets, and that's, you can purchase that from newtrendspublishing.com. And that's 5.5 hours of very practical advice on how to eat. And I think most of the questions that your listeners are having will be answered on that seminar.
Okay, and they should just go on your site to get in touch with you.
Well, they should go to New Trends Publishing for the books and the DVD, and to Weston A. Price, that if they have questions, they can email us at Weston A. Price Foundation.
Sally, we are out of time. Amazon gives Sally's book, Nourishing Traditions, a 4.5 stars. That's a great rating. There's 297 customer reviews. Most of them were absolutely supportive.
Yeah.
The book is $16.50. It's in stock. It's a wonderful addition to your kitchen and a great investment in your health. Sally has wonderfully wise food ideas and choices. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Thanks for listening, and thanks for all these great questions.
Thanks for having me, Sherry.
Pardon?
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for answering all of this.
Okay.
We need as much help as we can get to stay healthy and vital. So, you know, think about it. When's the last time you really spoke to a healthy person? Boy, that's a scary problem to have.
Thank you, Sherry.
We hope all of you join us again, and thank you for listening to another edition of Sound Health on BBS Radio.
And sip a little hand pressed cider with a carrot stick for dessert. And wiping my face in a natural way on the sleeve of my peasant shirt. Oh, yeah. But when that clock strikes midnight and I'm all by myself, I work at combination on my secret hideaway shelf. And I pull out some Fritos corn chips, Dr. Pepper, and an old moon pie. Then I sit back in glorious expectation of a genuine junk food high.